where the American stage begins. NBC presents Best Plays with John Chapman. Series of hour-length dramas selected from the outstanding successes of the New York stage. Now, John Chapman, editor of the theatrical yearbook Best Plays and drama critic of the New York Daily News, is here to introduce Judith Evelyn and John Beale in Craig's Wife. Mr. Chapman.
Our play this evening, George Kelly's Craig's Wife, was something of a surprise when it first appeared. It wasn't particularly astonishing that it won the Pulitzer Prize that year, for it was a beautifully finished piece of work. The surprise was that Craig's Wife had become a hit, and more than that, the kind of success known as a woman's play. These so-called women's plays are usually made of sugar and soap and all things nice, and they go great on matinee days. This one was different, and it still is. For when George Kelly finished his investigation of Mrs. Walter Craig, he had found in her character very little sugar, very little soap of the operatic variety, but a vast amount of furniture polish. When I first saw Craig's Wife, I thought it was a man's play, and I still do. But women think it's theirs. This evening, you'll be able to judge for yourselves. We are fortunate in having as Mrs. Craig Judith Evelyn, who played the role in its most recent revival on Broadway. We are equally fortunate in having John Beale in the part of Walter Craig. Now to begin. The time of our play is the present. Or any time. The scene is the living room of Walter Craig's home in a fashionable suburb. And since the whole story will unfold before us in this room, we might as well take a careful look at it, for it has something to tell us. The room is a picture of orderly, frozen grandeur. The light-colored carpets, the polished furniture, the gleaming ornaments are in the most perfect taste. They are rich, elegant, and cold. We would know also, even if the room did not tell us, that those who live here are people of some means. For as the curtain rises, there is a uniformed maid standing at the front door and a housekeeper just coming in to speak to her.
Did someone come in?
No, Mrs. Harold. I was just getting the afternoon paper off the porch.
Oh, well, I'll bring it out with you when you come. Don't leave it laying around in here. Be just like the lady to walk in on us.
I thought you said she wouldn't be back from Albany until Saturday.
Yeah, that's what she said. But it's just as well to keep a day or two ahead of a woman like Miss Craig, Maisie. She gets an idea there's a pin out of place around here, she'll take the first train out of Albany.
Yes, ma'am. Didn't you tell me you worked out on Willows Avenue at one time?
Mm-hmm. 2 years for Dr. Nicholson.
Did you know any people out there by the name of Passmore? J. Fergus Passmore?
No. Why?
Listen to this. Fashionable Willows Avenue residence, scene of double tragedy. Bodies of J. Fergus Passmore and wife, socially prominent in this city, found dead from bullet wounds.
Oh, the Lord have mercy.
Police working on identity of gentleman visitor, seen leaving premises in automobile shortly after midnight.
Oh, I didn't know him. Lord, the things that can happen. Oh, answer that, Maisie. I'll be in the kitchen, and mind you bring that paper in with you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Maisie.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Craig? You're back soon.
Yes, will you take these bags, please? Come in, Ethel, dear. You must be so tired.
Yes, I am, Aunt Harriet.
Will you see that the catch is on the screen door, Maisie? It was half open just now.
Yes, ma'am.
Take your things off, Ethel.
I think there's nothing so exhausting as train riding. Oh, Maisie?
Yes, ma'am?
You can take these things right upstairs. Put Miss Lambert's bag in the corner room.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, and Maisie, will you please use the back stairs to go up and down?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I always keep forgetting that.
You know, Ethel, it doesn't seem to occur to anybody in the house to use the back stairs. They must go tramping up and down the front way. You know what stairs look like after they've been tramped up and down a few times.
Oh, Aunt Harriet, I'm so worried. I never should have left. I ought to be with Mother.
Now, you mustn't start that, Ethel. Your mother will come through this spell just as she always has.
But Dr. Wood sent for me. He phoned the college. Why would he if it weren't serious?
Because your mother asked him to, I suppose. Just as she asked him to send for me. But you could see that it was only upsetting her to have us there. I assure you, I've seen this same thing time and time again. And what could we have done if we stayed?
I wanted to tell her something. I didn't get a chance. The doctor said I'd better wait.
Well, I would have told her. Was it something important?
It was about Professor Fredericks at school. Mother met him last year, and she liked him very much. She said she hoped I'd like him well enough to marry him if he ever asked me.
And has he asked you?
Yes. That's what I wanted to tell her. She said she'd feel easier to know I had somebody in case anything ever happened to her.
But why does a person need anybody, dear, if he has money enough to get along on, as you have? Personally, I can't conceive of being very much worse off than married to a college professor, stuck off in some dreadful place like Poughkeepsie or Northampton without a 10-cent piece to your name. How's he going to support you?
Well, lots of professors are married, Aunt Harriet.
But their wives are not living the way you've been accustomed to living. Not the wives of young professors, at least. I suppose he's young.
27.
Well, there you are. I think you're very foolish if you allow your mother to rush you into this marriage.
She didn't rush me. She wanted me to be sure I loved him. And I do.
Now, that is your age, Ethel. That's the snare of romance.
Oh, Aunt Harriet, you married.
Not with any romantic illusions, dear. Though I have a full appreciation of Mr. Craig. He's a very good man. But I married to be independent.
Independent of your husband?
Of everybody. I lived with a stepmother for 12 years. And with your mother after she was married for 5, I married to be on my own. I haven't achieved that yet, but I know that it can be done.
I don't understand you, Aunt Harriet.
Well, I'm simply exacting my share of a bargain. Mr. Craig wanted a wife and a home, and he has them. I wanted security and protection, and I have them. But they're at the mercy of a man. I mean to secure them for myself.
How?
By controlling the man.
But how, Aunt Harriet?
Well, how do you make Mr. Fredericks do something you want?
I tell him that I want him to.
My dear, there are certain things men can't be told, particularly romantic men.
But if he finds out that you want to control him...
Well, that can't be proved, can it?
Oh.
You think I'm a very sordid woman?
No, Aunt Harriet, I just don't think it's quite honest.
It's so very much safer, dear. Yes, Mrs. Harris.
After a while, Miss Craig, I thought the young lady had gone upstairs.
No, but she's going now. Ethel, I want you to lie down and rest for an hour or two. You'll feel so much better. I'll call you for dinner.
Oh, I can't eat any dinner, Aunt Harriet. I'm so worried.
Yes, I know, dear. It's very trying. But worrying can't help her.
But
go on up now. Straight down the hall and to the right.
All right, Aunt Harriet.
What was it, Mrs. Harold?
I won't tell you, Miss Craig. The cook left on Thursday. She just went away and didn't come back.
Did she get her wages?
Yes, ma'am. I'd already paid her until Tuesday. I called the agency to send somebody out, but Miss Hewlett said she wanted to see you first. She says she sent so many, she wants to find out what's the matter before she sends any more.
Well, she ought to have a few of them cooked for her. She'd know what was the matter. Mrs. Harold, those roses on the piano, where did they come from?
Oh, why, that Miss Fraser across the street. She brought them over for your aunt.
Well, we'll take them out of here. The petals will be all over the room.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I put them, ma'am.
Well, I don't care where you put them, but I don't want to be picking petals up every 2 minutes.
Well, maybe your aunt would like them in her room.
You can ask her. She up there now?
Yes, ma'am. Miss Fraser's showing her something about a pattern she's working on.
Do you mean to tell me, Mrs. Harold, that Mrs. Fraser is upstairs?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, how did she get up there?
Well, I'm sure I don't know, Miss Craig. Miss Austin asked her up.
All right. Were there any letters or messages while I was away?
There was a gentleman called Mr. Craig about 8 o'clock last night, but he'd gone out, so I give him the number Mr. Craig said he could be reached at.
Who was the gentleman? Did you get his name?
Yes, ma'am. He said his name was Burkmeyer.
Do you know if he got Mr. Craig all right?
Yes, ma'am, he did. I told Mr. Craig this morning about him calling. He said it was all right. He talked to him last night.
Then he called this afternoon about 4:30.
Mr. Berkmeyer did?
Yes, ma'am. He said for Mr. Craig to get in touch with him as soon as you come in.
Would you remember the phone number, Mrs. Harold, or the one Mr. Craig gave you?
Oh, yes. I wrote it down here. Oh, here it is. It was Leverin 3-100.
Oh, all right, Miss Harold. Oh, and will you get another ball? It belongs down here. Information? Could you give me the address of the telephone number, Levering 3-100? Oh, you can't. All right, it isn't important, thank you.
Harriet, why didn't you wire me? I'd have met you.
Well, I never thought of it, Walter, to tell you the truth. I just got in. Oh, here, dear, don't put your hat on the chair.
How is Estelle?
Well, I couldn't see there was anything wrong with her more than usual.
Good. Well, am I glad to have you back again.
Oh, Walter, stop it. You're breaking my bone.
Oh.
It's better. Oh, look, you've dropped your newspaper in this room's a sight. Your aunt's company will be scandalized.
Hattie Austin has company? Who is it?
Mrs. Frazier from across the street. She's upstairs, I'm told.
Oh, the lady with all the rose bushes in her yard. They certainly are beautiful, aren't they?
You might not think so if you had to sweep the petals up from the lawn.
It's a wonder she wouldn't bring a few of those roses over here once in a while for Auntie Austin.
Well, I guess she knows if we wanted roses, we'd plant some. And Walter, you'd better be out of the way before she comes down. She's always trying to make conversation.
Yeah, I've talked to her a couple of times on my way home.
You mean she's talked to you?
No, she was out there fixing the rose bushes when I came by.
Of course, that's where she always is. It facilitates the approach.
What?
Oh, Walter, don't lean against the piano. You'll scratch it.
My coat won't
scratch
it.
Well, there might be something in your pocket that will. Now, go on now, before she comes down.
You know, I think you're getting jealous of me, Harriet.
Not at all, dear boy. I'm simply suspicious of rich, middle-aged divorcees who specialize in wayside roses.
Mrs. Frazier isn't a divorcee. Her husband was killed in an automobile accident. She told me about him.
You're a very guileless young man, Walter.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Nothing. I just wish you'd use your eyes. By the way, whose phone number is Levering 3-100?
Fergus Passmore's. Why?
Just wondering. Mrs. Harold told me that you went out last night and gave her that number.
Yes, Fergus asked me over there to play a little poker.
Mrs. Harold said that Billy Berkmeyer called you. What did he want?
Well, Fergus told me to get a hold of Billy and bring him over, too. But he called me after I'd left here to say he couldn't make it. He finally called me at Passmore's.
I hope you're not getting into card playing again.
I never gave up card playing.
You haven't played in a year.
Well, everybody knows you don't play, so they don't ask me. I happened to mention to Fergus that you were out of town.
Was his wife there?
For a while. Then she went out somewhere.
I bet that's why Fergus asked you.
Huh?
He was so insanely jealous of her.
Well, I'm sure he was never jealous of me.
Jealous of everybody. And I bet that's why Billy Berkmeyer dodged it. I bet that's what he called to tell you.
Last night? He simply said...
No, today.
He didn't call today.
Yes, he did. This afternoon, around 4.
Huh?
He said you were to get in touch with him right away.
What's his number? Do you remember?
Yes.
Now, you let me know, Miss Austin, if there's anything else you don't understand.
Come on, Walter, here they come.
Oh, don't be silly, Harry.
Well, if you're going to stay and listen to that silly chatter, I certainly don't intend to.
I'll come over any time, Miss Austin. I haven't another solitary thing to do.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Craig?
How do you do, Mrs. Frazier? Hello, Auntie.
Hello, Walter, dear. I understand Harriet is home.
Yes, she got here just ahead of me.
Miss Austin was telling me that Mrs. Craig's sister has heart trouble.
Yes, yeah, she's had it for quite some time.
Oh, poor woman. I suppose Mrs. Craig is very upset.
Yes, I suppose she is.
Is she her only sister?
Yes, just the two of them.
Oh, too bad, too bad.
Walter, you should see all the wonderful roses Mrs. Frazier brought me.
Oh? Well, we appreciate that very much.
Oh, it is nothing at all. Well, I'll be going now. Good afternoon, Mr. Craig.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Frazier. Come over again real soon.
Well, thank you ever so much. I'd be delighted. Now, you just call me if there's anything more about that family.
Well, thank you so much, but I
think I'm... Is that silly woman gone, Walter?
She's outside saying goodbye. Harriet, she did bring some roses for Auntie Austin.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Walter, I wanted to remind you about calling Billy Berkmeyer, dear.
Oh, yes. What is that number?
Park 840, isn't it? And why don't you use the upstairs extension? It's more private.
I'll call him right away. Park 840?
Oh, yes, Park. Mm-hmm. That's right, dear. He said it was urgent.
Oh,
was it that I...
Oh, Harriet, Mrs. Harrell told me you were back.
Yes, Auntie Austin, and about time, don't you think?
Why, dear?
If I'd stayed away much longer, I should probably have come back to find my house a thoroughfare for the entire neighborhood.
You mean Mrs. Frazier being here?
You know perfectly well what I mean, Auntie Austin. Please don't try to appear so innocent. How did that woman get in here?
Why, I asked her in, of course. You don't suppose she walked in of her own accord?
I wouldn't put it past her if she knew I was away. Let her tend to her own house. She'll have plenty to do. I don't want a lot of idle neighbors on visiting terms.
A good neighbor is a very good thing sometimes.
Well, you may have them. I don't want them running in and out to me.
None of them has ever run in and out to you that I remember.
One has just left.
She wasn't here to see you.
She was in my house.
And your husband's house. And I don't think you'd find him much in accord with your attitude if he knew about it.
Well, you'll probably tell him.
Oh, I've got lots of things to tell him, Harriet. Only I want you to be here when I tell him, so that you won't be able to twist what I say.
I'm not at all interested. And I resent intensely your having brought Mrs. Frazier in here.
Oh, be honest about it at least, Harriet.
I am honest. I don't want her here.
You don't want anybody here.
I don't want her.
You don't want your husband. Only that he's necessary to the upkeep. But if you could see how that could be managed without him, his position wouldn't be as secure as the position of one of those sofa pillows.
Well, I must say, Miss Austin, that's a very nice thing for you to say to me.
It's the truth. You want your house, Harriet, and that's all you do want. And that's all you'll have at the finish, unless you change your ways. People who live to themselves, Harriet, are generally left to themselves. For other people will not go on being made miserable indefinitely for the sake of your ridiculous idolatry of house furnishings.
You seem to have borne it rather successfully.
I did it for Walter's sake. But now I've decided to make a change. Only I want my reasons to be perfectly clear to him before I go. I think I owe it to him.
I couldn't reach Billy Berkmeyer. He's probably... Well, what's the matter here?
I haven't the faintest idea, I'm sure.
Oh, there's something. What is it, Auntie?
Your aunt tells me that she's going to leave us.
Leave the house, you mean?
She finds my conduct of affairs here unendurable.
I'll be obliged to you, Harriet, if you'll allow me to explain the reasons for my going.
Oh, Auntie, I can't believe you've had any difficulty with anyone. Especially Harriet, who thinks the world of you. Now, what's Harriet done?
I'll tell you what I did. I objected to Auntie Austin's having brought that woman across the street in here while I was away.
Mrs. Frazier? Well, what's the matter with her?
She's a vulgar old busybody. That's what's the matter with her. She's been trying to get in here ever since we've been here.
What do you mean? She...
Harriet is provoked, Walter, because she has allowed herself to be tempted off form. She would prefer to have excluded Mrs. Frazier by the usual method. The one that's been employed in the exclusion of every other man and woman that has ever visited here.
I don't understand what you mean, Auntie.
That's the danger, Walter. That you don't understand. If you did, it would be scarcely necessary to warn you.
Warn me? Of what?
Of your wife.
What are you laughing at, Harry?
She isn't really laughing, Walter. She's whistling in the dark.
Oh, dear.
She's terrified that her secret has been discovered.
Oh, really? And what is my secret?
I think it's hardly necessary to tell you that.
She means that I've been trying to poison you secretly, Walter.
Not so secretly, Harriet.
Well, I'm sorry I must go, for I'm sure this is going to be very amusing.
I have asked Harriet to stay, Walter.
Well, I don't intend to stay. I've something more important to do than to listen to a lot of absurdities.
I wish you'd tell me what's happened here, Auntie.
Well, that isn't so easy, Walter, to tell a man. Walter, why do you suppose your mother asked you to promise her... when she was dying, that you'd take me with you when you married? It was because she knew her woman, Walter. The woman you were going to marry.
You mean that Mother didn't like Harriet?
Nobody could like Harriet. She doesn't want them to.
Well, I like her.
Oh, you're blinded by a pretty face.
Well, what's she done?
She has left you practically friendless, for one thing.
Oh.
Because the visits of your friends imply an importance to you that is at variance with her plan. So she's made it perfectly clear to them by a thousand little words and gestures that they are not welcome in her house. Oh. Because this is her house. You know, Walter. The house is what Harriet married. She didn't marry you. You simply went with the house as a more or less regrettable necessity.
I can't believe that, Auntie.
Walter, how long is it since any of your friends have come here?
Well...
And why don't you ever go out anymore?
Well,
it's because nobody asks you, Walter. They're afraid you might bring her. And they don't want her. Because she's made it perfectly clear that she doesn't want them. They reckon without you in their social life now. And they'll soon begin to reckon without you in their business life.
Now,
Walter,
ridiculous.
Listen. The other day, I happened to be seated in a restaurant near two of your old friends.
Well?
A man and a woman came in and sat at another table. And the wife immediately proceeded to tell the man how he should sit down. And after he sat, how he should that he was down. And so on. And I distinctly heard one of your friends say to the other, "Listen to Craig's wife over there."
No.
That's only a straw in the wind, Walter. She's ruining you. And I can't stand by to see you.
Oh, now, Auntie. I can see there's been some misunderstanding between you and Harold.
Oh, Walter.
I can't let you leave this house. I promised Mother.
I'm sorry, Walter.
Oh, I couldn't feel worse if it were Mother herself leaving.
Be glad that it isn't your mother, Walter. She would have left long ago.
A gentleman to see you, Mr. Craig.
Who is it, Maisie? Oh, Billy.
Hello, Walter.
How are you? I called your house a while ago.
I've been trying to get hold of you since 4 o'clock, Walter. Huh? I thought I'd better come over.
Will I take the gentleman's things, Mr. Craig?
No, I've got to get right back to the house.
Well, never mind then, Maisie. You look worried, Billy. What is it?
That's what I want to know. What about it?
What about what?
About Fergus Passmore and his wife. Haven't you seen the papers?
No, why?
Then you don't. Here, look at this. On the front page.
Dead? What in the... Fergus Passmore and wife. Good Lord.
I nearly had heart failure when I read it. I saw her at the Ritz last night at 12 o'clock. She was with that military gent she's been stepping out with lately. That's my hunch on this, Walter. You know how jealous Fergus always was of her.
But I was out there last night until 12 myself.
Did Adelaide get in before you left there?
No, she didn't. Oh, I think I ought to get in touch with the police headquarters right away, Billy.
That's why I wanted to get in touch with you. It says here they're looking for a man seen leaving the place after midnight.
Well, sure, that's me. That's the time I got away from there.
That doesn't mean anything. Only it's a good idea to let them know.
Oh, this is a terrible thing, Billy. Terrible.
I haven't got it through my head yet. Come on, quit reading. The thing for us to do is to hop out to Passmore's and try to find out what's going on. Maybe it's all cleared up by now. If they haven't found out anything, we'll get in touch with police headquarters and let them know where we are.
Well, you weren't out there, Billy.
No, I wasn't. But I talked to you on the telephone out there from my house.
Huh?
In a thing of this kind, they trace phone calls and everything else.
Yeah.
Come on, I've got my car right out here.
Well, I'll just get my hat. I guess the quickest way is across the park.
Sure, we can be there in 10 minutes. Come on.
Walter? Did you get... Walter? Oh, for heaven's sake. Maisie? Will he ever stop leaving things? Maisie, will you come and take this newspaper?
Newspapers, everything else all over. What? Bodies of Jay Fergus Passmore and wife?
No. Oh, dear Lord, no. Walter! Walter, are you upstairs? Walter!
Were you calling me a minute ago, Mrs. Craig?
Maisie, have you seen anything of Mr. Craig?
Why, he was here a few minutes ago, Mrs. Craig, with a gentleman.
What gentleman? Who was he?
I didn't catch the name, ma'am. He came in an automobile.
Did Mr. Craig go away with him?
I don't know whether he did or not, Mrs. Craig. I didn't know he'd gone.
See if his hat's on the rack out there.
Yes, ma, look. No, Mrs. Craig, it isn't.
Oh, Lord, Maisie, listen.
Yes, sir?
Run out to the garage and see if he's there. If you find him, tell him to come back immediately. I want to see him. Hurry, Maisie, hurry. Tell him I want him right away.
There, Mrs. Craig.
Are you sure, Maisie?
Yes, both the cars are in there, Mrs. Craig. I looked. I guess he must have went away with the gentleman.
All right. I'll answer that.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Maisie.
Yes, sir.
Go up and see that my niece's door is closed.
Yes, sir.
Be very quiet and don't disturb her if she's asleep.
I won't, Mrs. Craig.
Yes, all right. Hello, this is Mrs. Craig speaking. Oh, Miss Landreth is lying down just now. Who is this? I see. Oh, why not a thing, Mr. Fredericks, except that she's very tired. What? Oh, no, I don't see why you should put yourself to that trouble, Mr. Fredericks. There wouldn't be anything you could do when you get here. Well, I'd rather not call her, if you don't mind. Can I give her a message? I see. Well, it's very nice of you to be so solicitous, Mr. Fredericks, but I really don't care to disturb her just now. I'm very sorry. Macy?
Miss Lambert's door was closed, Mrs. Craig.
All right, she was at the front door.
Yes'm.
Is Mr. Craig in?
No, sir. He went out about 20 minutes ago.
Oh, you expect him back?
I couldn't say, sir. I guess he'll be back in time for dinner.
Is his wife in?
Yes, sir. Will you step in?
Sure. Who is it, Maisie?
Good evening, ma'am. You Mrs. Craig?
Yes.
I called to see Mr. Craig, and maybe you could give me the information I'm looking for.
Yes.
I'll tell you what it's about, Miss Craig. I suppose you've seen in the paper about this affair out on Willows Avenue.
You mean that shooting affair?
Yes, at the Passmore.
It's a dreadful thing. I've just been reading it here. Was it a robbery or something?
No, there wasn't anything taken. Of course, it could have been an attempted robbery.
Are you working on the case?
Yes, ma'am. My name's Cattell. I'm from police headquarters.
Oh.
That doesn't need to alarm you, Miss Craig. There's no particular connection here.
Well, I'm very glad to know that.
No, this Passmore affair looks to me like a pretty clear matter of jealousy. Of course, there was a man seen leaving the house around midnight, but that wouldn't account for the death of Mrs. Passmore because she didn't get in until after 3 o'clock.
I see.
But you understand, we have to follow up on any little outside clue that might throw any light on it. That's what I want to see Mr. Craig about.
You mean you think Mr. Craig might be the man that was seen leaving there last night?
Oh, no, that's not it. They could have had any number of visitors during the evening.
Yes, that's very true.
We've had a report late this afternoon, Mrs. Craig, that there was a call made on your telephone here asking for the address of the telephone number Levering 3100. And that happens to be the Passmore telephone.
But you mean somebody called from here?
Oakdale, 623, is that your number?
Well, yes, but I can't imagine who it would be.
The report says it was a woman's voice.
Well, how extraordinary. Although it might have been one of the servants, it probably saw it in the paper and was curious to know where it was.
Well, you see, ma'am, the address is in the paper and the phone number isn't. It's curious why anyone would have that particular phone number and not the address when it's been in all the paper since 2 o'clock. And this call wasn't made till after 5.
And it does seem strange.
Yeah. Has this phone been used at all, to your knowledge, Miss Craig, since 5 o'clock this afternoon?
Why, I answered a call a few minutes ago from Northampton, Massachusetts.
Well, do you know if anybody from outside has been in here since 5 o'clock?
Well, there was a neighbor, Mrs. Frazier, from across the avenue. She brought some roses, but I scarcely think she would have used the phone. I'll ask my husband's aunt, if you like.
If you don't mind.
No, not at all. Miss Austin? Miss Austin?
Yes?
Would you come down for a minute or two?
Why, of course.
She'll be right down. I suppose I'd better call the servants, too, hadn't I?
Yes, I'd like to see them for a minute.
Maisie, would you come here for a minute?
Mind if I use this phone, Miss Craig?
No, not at all. Go right ahead.
Extension 40.
Did you want me, Mrs. Craig?
Shh, in a minute.
Hello, this is Cattell. Well, that's so. Well, I got away from there before 6. Period. Now, what are you trying to do, break my heart? All right, I'll be right over. I won't have to bother you any more right now, Miss Craig. There's been a bit of additional information come in over at headquarters that'll hold things up temporarily.
Do you want me to have Mr. Craig get in touch with you when he comes in?
No, we'll get in touch with him if it's necessary.
And you don't want to question the rest of the people now, either?
Not just now, Miss Craig. I'm sorry to have had to trouble you.
No, that's quite all right.
You can explain the circumstances to Mr. Craig, if you will.
Yes, I will.
Thank you very much, Miss Craig. Good evening.
You're very welcome, I'm sure. Oh, did you want to see me about something, Harriet?
Not now, Miss Austin. It isn't necessary. I'm sorry to have troubled you.
Mrs. Craig?
That will be all, Maisie.
Yes'm. But Mrs. Harold wants to know if she'll serve the dinner now, Mrs. Craig.
Dinner? Maisie, tell her not yet for a while. We'll wait for Mr. Craig. I'm sure he'll be here any minute.
I'm John Beale. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Enjoy the finest in radio around the clock on KFI, Los Angeles. Make it happen here. Be a winner with your community chest. The goal is within reach for the first time in 8 years. You can help today. If you haven't given, give now. If you have given, try to give at least $1 more. Time's short and the need is great. Send your check to Community Chest, Los Angeles 17, by December the 16th. Now, Act Two of the Best Plays production of Craig's Wife by George Kelly, starring Judith Evelyn and John Beale. And here again is John Chapman.
End of this carefully planned life of Harriet Craig, an event has come which she cannot control, which, therefore, she hates and fears. Now, in agitation and panic, she is waiting for her husband to return home. She has not long to wait, for just after 7 o'clock...
Walter, where have you been?
I've been out with Billy Berkmeyer, Harriet. Why?
Haven't you seen the evening paper about Fergus Passmore and his wife?
Yes, I've seen it.
I've been nearly out of my mind for the last hour. I couldn't find you anywhere.
I went out with Berkmeyer.
Maisie said there'd been a man here in an automobile, so of course I didn't know what to think. I thought probably you'd been arrested or something.
What would I be arrested for?
Why, in connection with this thing, of course. The police are looking for you. You know that, don't you?
The police? What for?
Well, why do you suppose? Doesn't it say in the paper there that you were seen leaving Passmore's house at 12 o'clock last night?
It doesn't say I was seen leaving there.
It says a man. Who else could it have been but you?
I don't know that.
Oh, don't be absurd, Walter. Someone must have seen you. Somebody always sees.
Nobody that I know.
A man. Who else could it have been but you?
I don't know that.
Oh, don't be absurd, Walter. Someone must have seen you. Somebody always sees.
Nobody that I know of.
Well, the police were here anyway.
Did they say I was seen last night?
I don't remember what was said. I was too upset. I was never placed in such a position in my life. I didn't even know where you were.
Well, Berkmeyer and I drove out to Fergus's.
Well, what in heaven's name for? Do you want your name dragged into this thing?
Oh, not my name will be dragged into it anyway, won't it? You say they've already been here.
They were simply looking for information.
And they'll very likely come back.
But you don't have to go out looking for them, do you?
Well, you can't be playing games at a time like this, Harry.
No, and you don't have to go rushing out to meet a lot of scandalous publicity either. Why, it'd be in every newspaper in the country.
Well, that wouldn't bother me in the least. My conscience is clear.
Oh, don't be so absurdly romantic, Walter. If you've had nothing to do with it...
What do you mean, if I've had nothing to do with it?
Don't go picking me up on every word.
Did the police say when they'd be back?
I don't remember.
Well, have they been to any other of Fergus's friends? I think I'll call up Berkmeyer and see if anybody's been there.
Now, wait a minute, Walter. You're not going to do anything of the kind. Get away from that phone.
Well, what's the matter?
Don't you realize that that phone is being watched? And they're probably watching Berkmeyer's, too.
What for?
Berkmeyer called you last night at Passmore's, didn't he? There's undoubtedly a record of that call.
Well, that wouldn't involve my name.
It would if the operator listened in.
Do you think she has nothing to do but listen in on calls?
She listened in on this one, didn't she?
On which one?
What? What did you say?
Which call did the operator listen in on?
Well, somebody must have listened in on something, or the police wouldn't have come here.
Did they say the operator had reported on a call from here?
I don't remember distinctly. There was something about a phone call. I assumed that it was the one that Berkmeyer made to you last night at Passmore's.
Did they say when the call was made?
What does it matter, Walter? The fact remains that the phone is being watched.
And I want to know why it's being watched.
Walter Craig, you're not to speak over that telephone. If you do, I'll leave this house. And you know what construction would be put upon that.
What do you mean you'll leave this house?
I mean exactly what I said.
Or do you think I could stay in this neighborhood 24 hours after my name had been associated with a thing of this kind?
Harriet, can't you see the necessity of my being open and above board with them?
I see no necessity of the one keeping still.
But why create grounds for suspicion when there aren't any?
There are grounds, Walter. You were out there last night.
Well, that doesn't mean a thing.
Evidently not to you.
Well, does it to you?
Well, what does that matter? It's not for me to determine your guilt or innocence. I'm not interested.
You are not interested.
I'm interested in the impression on the popular mind and the respect of the community we've got to live in.
You mean you'd rather know I was involved in this thing and keep the respect of the community than know I was a victim of circumstances and lose it?
Excuse me, Miss Craig.
What is it, Mrs. Harold?
I'm sorry to bother you, Miss Craig, but I'm afraid the dinner will be spoiled.
You may serve it, Mrs. Harold. I'll be right out.
Mrs. Harold.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Harold, do you know if anybody has called that number I gave you last night on this telephone?
You mean that number you gave me from Mr. Berkmeyer?
Yes.
No, sir. I don't know if that anybody has.
All right, Mrs. Harold. Thanks very much.
I hadn't even thought about the number again, sir, until Miss Craig asked me for it when she came in this afternoon.
Thank you, Mrs. Harold.
Yes, sir. I'll serve dinner now.
Why didn't you tell the truth, Harriet?
I knew if I told you I made that call, you'd be on the telephone in 5 minutes telling the police.
Why couldn't you be honest? Instead of trying to make it appear that I was responsible for bringing the police here.
Oh, you needn't try to turn it on me. None of this would have happened if you'd been home last night instead of out playing cards with a lot of irregular people.
What was irregular about Fergus Passmore?
There must have been something. I knew as soon as my back was turned, you'd be out with your friends again. That's why I came home.
And what has your back being turned got to do with my visiting my friends?
You wouldn't have been visiting them if I'd been here.
Well, what would you have done? Locked the door on me?
That wouldn't have been necessary. You haven't been visiting them in the last 18 months, have you?
No, I haven't.
And they haven't been visiting you either?
No.
Well,
my aunt said a while ago that you'd driven all my friends away from this house.
There are ways of getting rid of people without driving them away from the house.
She also said you were trying to get rid of me, Harriet, without actually driving me away from the house.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, how perfectly she knows you, Harriet. And here I felt sorry for her, thinking she was getting a little old and suspicious, particularly when she said you had excluded my friends.
Do you think I wanted my house turned into a tavern?
Well, my friends never turned my mother's house into a tavern.
Well, they didn't play poker at your mother's house till all hours of the morning.
Every Thursday night for 10 years.
Well, evidently your mother and I had very different ideas of our house.
Yes, very different. But don't make any mistake, Harriet, about my thinking you didn't want my friends here simply because they played cards. You didn't want them because, as my aunt says, their visits implied an importance to me that was at variance with your little campaign. A campaign that was to reduce me to one of those wife-ridden sheep that's afraid to buy a necktie for fear his wife might not approve of it.
Oh, don't make yourself out such a martyr. You've had your share of this bargain.
Bargain? Is that what this marriage is to you? You've been playing safe, haven't you? Right from the start. You've been exploiting me consistently in your shifty little business of personal safety. And now you'd throw me open to suspicion in this murder. Just to preserve that safety.
I've been trying to preserve my home.
That's all I've heard from you since the day I married you.
Well, what else has a woman like me but her home?
Well, hasn't she her husband?
She could lose her husband, couldn't she?
Well, couldn't she lose her home, too?
Not if she knew how to secure it.
Well, that's the point, Harriet. If she knew how to fix it for herself.
Well, what if I have fixed it? I saw what happened to my own mother from being one of those I will follow thee, my husband, women. Her home mortgaged over her head for another woman till she could do nothing but die of a broken heart. And the other woman came in as my stepmother. But the house was never mortgaged over her head, I'll promise you. She saw to it that it was put in her name and she kept it there.
Well, why didn't you ask me to put this house in your name? It would have been more honest.
I haven't done anything that wasn't honest.
How would you know, Harriet?
I've simply tried to be practical.
I don't reproach you, Harriet. You simply married the wrong man.
I married a romantic fool. That's what I married.
How well we understand each other now, Harriet.
Well, I understand you anyway, and you ought to thank your God that I do, for I don't know what would become of you if I didn't.
The presumption of you.
What?
The presumption that you could make a remark like that.
Excuse
me, Mrs. Craig.
That you could set yourself up to control
yes,
me.
Yes, Maisie.
As though I was some sort of mental incompetent.
Quiet, will you? What is it, Maisie?
Excuse me, ma'am, but Mrs. Harold sent me to see if you were coming in to dinner.
Well, yes, right away.
The mental incompetent.
But I'd like to see you for a minute first, Maisie.
Yes, ma'am.
Romantic fool.
Don't make a show of yourself in front of Maisie. Maisie, what is this card here?
Why, it's the society card, Mrs. Craig, of the Mutual Benevolence.
Well, what is it doing here on the mantelpiece? Couldn't you find any place for it but back of that ornament?
Why, I was...
After all the times I've told you never to put anything on that mantelpiece.
Yes, you have told me, Mrs. Craig, but when
well,
I came...
Why do you do it? Must I keep telling you the same things indefinitely? Now, you know perfectly well I never allow anyone even to dust that mantelpiece but myself. And yet the minute my back is turned, you use it as a catch-all for everything in the house.
Mrs. Harold asked me something when I came in and...
I am not interested in what anybody asked you. That does not excuse you. I've told you over and over again never to put anything back of those ornaments, and you deliberately disobey me.
But, madam, I...
And when a girl will not do as she is told, the best thing for her to do is to go someplace where she will be made to do it. So I want you to get your things together tonight and leave this house tomorrow morning.
Yes, Mrs. Craig.
Here's the card. Find some place for it besides back of an ornament.
Yes, but...
And tell Mrs. Harold to save the dinner. I'll be down in 2 minutes. I'm going up to see what my niece wants for her dinner. Oh, and Walter, you'd better go out and get your dinner before it gets cold.
The dinner. She says the dinner will be cold. That's better.
Mrs. Craig, I have to say, I think you could have given Maisie my... Oh, Mr. Craig. Glory be to God, this day and this night. How did that ornament get broke? Did it fall off the mantelpiece?
No. I smashed it, Mrs. Harold.
On purpose, do you mean, Mr. Craig?
Yes. I didn't like it.
Well, I wish you'd tell Miss Craig it was you that done it, sir. She'll be thinking it was one of us.
I'll tell her all about it, Mrs. Harrell.
I'll get the dustpan, sir, and sweep it up.
And just leave it there, Mrs. Harrell. Go and have your dinner.
Now, ain't you coming in, Mr. Craig?
No, I don't want a thing. I'm just going to sit here and smoke.
Yes, sir.
Walter! Well, did something fall down here?
No. Nothing fell.
Are you sure? It sounded as though the house fell down.
Maybe it did, Harriet. I'm just sitting here wondering.
Has the morning paper come?
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Craig's reading it out on the porch.
Well, what is he doing up so early?
Well, I don't think he was to bed, ma'am. He was sitting here in this big chair last night, and again when I come in this morning.
What are you sweeping up there, Mrs. Harold?
Why, it's that center ornament from the mantel, Miss Craig. It got broke last night.
What? Oh, my Lord, not the beautiful statuette.
It certainly is too bad.
A beautiful thing, a beautiful, beautiful thing. I suppose Maisie broke it for spite, didn't she?
Mr. Craig said he broke it, Miss Craig. Said he didn't like it.
Tell Maisie I want to see her.
Well, she isn't here, Miss Craig. She left already. Mr. Craig said he'd tell you all about it, ma'am.
All right, Mrs. Harold. Take those pieces out of here.
Yes, ma'am.
Walter, come in here for a moment, will you?
Good morning, Harriet.
Oh, Walter, what does the paper say about the Passmore thing?
You're quite safe, Harriet. Fergus's brother got in last night from Pittsburgh with a letter Fergus had written to him intimating his intentions.
Then Fergus did it himself. I always told you he was jealous of his wife.
He did it because she was dishonest.
Well, isn't it lucky I didn't allow you to telephone last night and make a show of us all? Now, listen, Walter, don't go out there to the funeral or anything. There's no use starting anything now when it's all over.
Anything else on your mind?
Well, yes, there is. I want to know about that ornament that was broken here last night. Mrs. Harold says you told her you broke it.
So I did.
What were you doing, leaning against the mantelpiece as usual?
No, I smashed it purposely.
But why? Why would you deliberately break a beautiful, expensive thing like that?
I didn't break it.
But you just said you did.
I said I smashed it into 1,000 pieces. And then I smoked cigarettes, one after another, until I had your Sanctum sanctorum here, all nice and messy and littered up with ashes and cigarette butts. Oh, I was really a whale of a fella around here for about an hour last night. You should have seen me.
Did you go out of your mind?
Oh, I was never clearer in my mind. I was going to smash all the little ornaments. Those gods you'd set up in this temple here and were worshiping before me. I was going to put my house in order, including my wife, and rule it with a rod of iron.
Oh, Walter.
Well, I don't wonder that it amuses you. It amused me, too, when I realized the truth of what you called me, a romantic fool. But I'm sorry you didn't see me anyway. I think you would at least have appreciated the sincerity of my attempt to continue here as your husband.
What do you mean, your attempt?
The role is just not for me, Harriet. I can only play a romantic part.
Ethel, dear child, what are you doing up so early?
Harriet, I must go home. I'm too troubled in my mind to stay here any longer.
Oh, now, Ethel, I'm sure you're upsetting yourself unnecessarily. Anyway, you can't go immediately.
I must.
There's no train until the 9:17.
It's a quarter of nine now.
Well, all right, dear. I can get a cab in 5 minutes. There's no use calling it already.
I really should call Jean long distance. I simply left him a note when I rushed away from school. He won't know what to think.
Well, I wouldn't worry myself too much about what he'll think, dear. I want you to consider very seriously what I've said to you. You're not married to Mr. Fredericks yet. Now, don't let him hurry you.
I don't know what to do, Aunt Harriet.
Just think it over, dear. You don't want to be a burden to him, do you?
Of course not.
Well, what else would you be? Now, just remember, there's no hurry about anything. Now, go into the breakfast room, dear. Mrs. Harold will give you your breakfast.
Oh, Aunt Harriet, I couldn't touch a thing.
You can't start on that trip home without something, Ethel.
Yes, I have them here in my bag, Mrs. Harold.
Oh, is that Miss Austin? I haven't had a chance to speak to her yet.
Well, you'll have time after you've eaten, dear. Go on in.
All right, Aunt Harriet.
Just put them out on the porch, Mrs. Harold.
All right, Miss Austin.
Then they'll be ready when the taxi comes. Oh.
Harriet.
Are you leaving already, Miss Austin?
Yes, I always like to get an early start.
Are your things ready?
Yes, Mrs. Harold helped me to pack last night. I'm taking 2 bags. I'll send an expressman for the rest.
What are your plans, if I may ask?
You may. I'm going to the Ritz now. After that, I'll do what I've always wanted to do, travel. Far and wide, so that I shan't become little. I have a deadly fear of that.
Have you seen Walter this morning?
No. I'll write to him and let him know where I am.
Well, do that. He'll be so interested.
Yes, I think he will. And now, if you'll excuse me, Harriet, I'll sit on the porch until my taxi comes.
Your bags are outside, Miss Austin.
Thank you, Mrs. Harold. Goodbye, Harriet. I hope you never have regrets.
Oh, goodbye. Mrs. Harold, my niece is in the breakfast room. I want you to give her some breakfast.
I've left everything ready out there, Miss Gregg.
Why, where are you going?
I'm going with Miss Austin, ma'am.
Indeed.
She was telling me last night she was going to leave here, and I said I thought I'd be leaving pretty soon myself. So she said if I was going anyway, she'd like to have me with her.
Without giving me any notice?
You didn't give Maisie much notice, Miss Craig.
You understand that I shall have to tell Miss Hewlett?
Oh, Miss Hewlett knows. Tell you the truth, she's surprised I didn't leave long ago. She told me when I come here, if I stayed a month, I'd be the first one out of 7 that did.
What about your keys?
I left them all on your dressing table upstairs and the money I had left over.
Well, I'll just go and check up before you go.
You just do that, Miss Craig.
And I hope your next place will be as easy as this one has been.
Oh, don't you worry about me, Miss Craig. Nobody belonging to me ever died in the poorhouse.
How do you do? My name is Fredericks. I'd like to see Miss Landreth, if I could.
Oh, come in, please, sir. I think Miss Landreth is just having her breakfast.
I think I'd better get my things, Aunt Harriet. It must be... Jane!
Hello, Ethel.
Jane, something's happened to Mother.
Oh, no, no, not a thing, dear. Not that I know of. Oh, don't cry, darling. Please, now, don't. Look, I just came because I couldn't reach you on the phone. I didn't know what to think, that was all.
I'm going back home right away. I never should have left.
All right, I'll go with you. You better sit down, honey. You look sort of pale.
Oh, I've been so worried.
I've been worried about you, too.
When I told Aunt Harriet about our engagement, she didn't approve, and that upset me more than ever.
Well, why didn't she approve?
Several reasons. I'll tell you on the train.
Well, you make me uneasy.
She didn't make me think of not marrying you, but whether it might not be wise to postpone it.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be wise, darling. It isn't a good idea to postpone a thing like marriage. So many things can happen, and I don't want anything to happen.
Oh, Jean, darling.
Oh,
Uncle Walter, please come in. This is Mr. Fredericks, the young man I'm engaged to marry.
Well, I certainly am glad to meet you.
A pretty lucky fellow, don't you think, Mr. Craig?
I should say so. Is it all set?
Well, I hope so, though Ethel seems to feel a little nervous about it.
Oh, it isn't that. I was saying I discussed it with Aunt Harriet, and she seemed to think I hadn't considered it enough.
What did she want you to consider?
Well, she said, on account of my age, she didn't think I appreciated the practical side of marriage enough.
That's the one side of marriage that shouldn't be appreciated too much, Ethel. It's a lack of faith in each other.
Right, Mr. Craig. The thing to consider is whether we love each other.
Of course. And one other thing. Whether or not you're both absolutely honest with each other. It doesn't seem to me that there's very much else to worry about.
What? We're going back on the 917, Uncle Walter. Would you know the number of the taxi cab company?
You won't need a cab. I'm leaving right now. I'll drive you.
Oh, that'd be very kind.
I'll go get the car. It won't take me a minute.
Ethel, did your aunt tell you that I called you last night?
No, she didn't.
I called here about 7 o'clock. She said you were asleep.
I couldn't have been. Well, anyway, she might have known I'd want to talk to you. And she didn't tell me this morning, either. I'm going to ask her about it. Aunt Harriet! I want to say goodbye to her anyway.
I'll wait outside, Ethel.
Don't you want to meet her?
I don't think she wants to meet me.
Were you calling me, Ethel?
Yes, Aunt Harriet.
Did you have your breakfast?
No, I'm leaving. Uncle Walter's going to drive Mr. Fredericks and me to the station.
Mr. Fredericks? Oh, where is he? I should like to meet him.
He thought you probably wouldn't care to.
How absurd. Why not?
Aunt Harriet, why didn't you call me last night when Mr. Fredericks telephoned?
Because you were asleep, dear.
I wasn't asleep.
I sent Maisie to your room. She said your door was closed.
She could have rapped.
Well, what was the sense of upsetting you, dear?
Because it was important.
I asked him if it was important and if he wanted to leave a message, and he said no.
Why didn't you tell me this morning that he'd called?
Now, please, Ethel, dear, I shan't answer any more questions about Mr. Fredericks. He's going back with you, I suppose.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you won't have to go make the trip alone.
Aunt Harriet, is Uncle Walter leaving you?
What on earth put that into your head, Ethel?
Something he said when I told him I was going to be married to Mr. Fredericks. He said the only thing we needed to consider was whether or not we were absolutely honest with each other. And I was wondering if he'd found out.
Found out what?
Ethel, you all set?
Yes, Uncle Walter. Goodbye, Aunt Harriet.
Goodbye, dear.
I'll write you as soon as I get home.
Yes, do, dear, and let me know how your mother is.
Yes. I'm ready, Uncle Walter.
Well, you get in the car, Ethel. I'll be right with you.
Are you going to the office now, Walter?
Yes, it's nearly 9 o'clock. I left the key to the garage and some papers for you upstairs, Harriet. If you should want me for the next week or two, I'll be at the Ritz.
Oh, now listen to me, Walter. Craig, you're surely not serious about leaving this house.
Well, I should think that would please you. It's so practical.
Oh, don't try to be funny. What's so practical about a man walking out and leaving his wife and his home?
I have no wife to leave. For you've neither loved nor honored me.
Well, you married me, whether I did or not.
And you married a house. And I'll see that you have it, just as though I were here.
You'll be here, unless I'm very much mistaken.
You don't know your man, Harriet.
But what did I do last night that was so terrible?
You showed your hand, that was all.
I kept you from making a fool of yourself.
And you showed me how I could avoid making a fool of myself in the future.
Well, you're certainly not beginning very auspiciously, I can tell you that.
Well, at least now I'll be a self-respecting fool. And that's something I never could be if I stayed here, knowing that you hadn't...
Always respected you.
Don't try to soften the blow, Harriet, because I assure you it isn't necessary. But I wonder that with all your wisdom, it never occurred to you that one can't play a dishonest game indefinitely.
I haven't played any dishonest game.
Possibly not, according to your standards. But I think you have. And I think in your heart you know you have. And that's the rock that you and I are splitting on, Harriet. If this Passmore affair hadn't revealed you, something else would have. So my going may as well be today as tomorrow. Goodbye, Harriet.
Walter.
Goodbye, Harriet.
Oh. Telegram from Mrs. Walter Craig?
Inside.
Okay.
Yes?
Telegram. Sign here.
Oh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mrs. Craig. May I come in?
Mr. Spencer.
Good morning. I do hope you'll pardon my walking in without ringing, but I thought Mrs. Austin would be down and I wanted to bring her these roses. I was telling her yesterday I'd bring her over some. She was saying that she admired white roses so much, and I have so many over there right now.
I haven't seen her yet this morning.
Well, if you'll just tell her I left them.
Yes, I shall. Thanks ever so much.
Oh, have you had any word about your sister this morning, Mrs. Craig? I saw the boy with the telegram and I wondered. Miss Austin was telling me yesterday that she was quite ill.
She died this morning at 6 o'clock.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. That's too bad.
I had no idea she was so ill. I should never have come back.
Dear, 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 I'm so sorry. Oh, I shouldn't have bothered you at all.
That's quite all right.
But I'm sure you have my sympathy.
Thank you.
I do hope you'll let me know, Mrs. Craig, if there's any way that I can be of service to you.
Thank you very much. I don't think there's anything anybody can do.
I suppose you'll have to go right back up there again, won't you?
I don't know whether I shall be able to or not, to tell you the truth, Mrs. Frazier. It's been such a strain.
Oh, yes, these long illnesses are dreadful. But I hope you won't hesitate to let me know if there's anything I can do.
That's very kind of you. I'll give these roses to Miss Austin when I see her.
If you will, please. I'm terribly sorry. I'll run over again.
I've just heard the Best Plays production of Craig's Wife by George Kelly, starring Judith Evelyn and John Beale. And here again is your host, drama critic John Chapman.
It was Auntie Austin who said, "People who live to themselves, Harriet, are generally left to themselves." Well, what did you think of this Best Play? Was it a man's play or a woman's? You might start arguing about it after I finish. But first, you should be told about next week's piece. It's another melodrama, and one of the cleverest and most suspenseful. The title is Night Must Fall. The author, Emlyn Williams, wrote it for himself so that he might play a particularly evil hotel bellboy.
Our cast will include Alfred Drake as Dan, the sweet-talking bellboy with murder in his soul, and the beloved Mary Boland as the old lady who befriends him. Another member of the company will be Carmen Matthews. This is Chapman saying goodbye until next week.
Craig's Wife by George Kelly was adapted for radio by Clarice Ross. Heard in the cast were Irene Hubbard as Mrs. Harold, Patricia Hosley as Maisie, Jane Webb as Ethel, Virginia Payne as Mrs. Frazier, Ethel Wilson as Aunt Austin, John Gibson as Billy Burkmeyer, Ross Martin as Officer Cattell, and William Redfield as Gene Fredericks. Best Plays is an NBC production supervised by William Welch and directed by Fred Wade. This is Robert Denton speaking. Best Plays came to you transcribed, and we invite you to hear Theater Guild on the Air at 5:30 this evening on NBC. KFI, Los Angeles.